Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're reading God's word. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the prophet or the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we ask that it speak to our hearts. We come here today. Many of us have things on our mind. Lord, we're troubled by situations in our lives. Lord, sicknesses in our lives. Lord, today, let us put aside all the worry and the trouble and let your Holy Spirit minister to our hearts as we have need, that we might know and come closer to you and walk with you. Heavenly Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may today be that day that they simply step out by faith and trust you. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, when we got up this morning, we realized that it was Sunday, and we probably took a bath and put on our clean clothes and cleaned up a little bit, combed our hair, and got ready to come to church. Most of us did anyhow, didn't we? I think of Naaman. He was a leper. He was a great man, the Bible says, a commander of the army of the king of Syria, a very honorable man, mighty man of valor. But it says there, but he was a leper. He was a mighty warrior, but he was a leper. He was the captain of all the forces of the nation of Syria, but he was a leper. He is a very important man, but he was a leper. As great as he was, the Bible says he had a flaw in his life. He was a leper. Leprosy, I said a couple of weeks ago, was a terrible disease. It began with a small sore, and it took hold of a man's body, and it would rot his fingers off and his toes off and his nose off and his ears off. It affected the nervous system, and it started on the body itself, eating away at the body. It was a disease that was so bad that they put people outside the towns to live a life separate from everyone else. Leprosy was totally incurable in those days. Leprosy could, a man could accidentally cut himself and bleed to death with the blood because he couldn't have any feeling in his fingers or toes or his body. It was certainly a disease that was so bad that it prevented people from being around one another. It was a terrible, terrible disease. And Scripture puts leprosy to illustrate the effects of sin in our lives. Sin, like leprosy, often chokes a man to death without his knowledge. Sin starts out with just like leprosy, just a little spot in our life. But if it's left untreated, it finally leads to death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Did you know you come to church this morning? You're like Naaman. You came to church. You might be an honorable man. You might be an honorable church member. You might be just a child or a young boy. I looked at these young children up here. They have so much life ahead of them, seems like. Yet, we're all infected with a thing called sin. It's in every life. It's there. And left unchecked in our life, the Bible says it leads to death. It leads a man to death. Now, the king of Syria loved Naaman. He was a great man. He was honorable. He had fought and conquered the people for the king. A mighty man of valor. He loved him, and he didn't want him to have leprosy. And on one of the trips out, and they brought back a little slave girl. And she said, "Oh, but if Naaman only knew the prophet in Israel, my country, he could heal him from his leprosy." Now, can you imagine the thoughts that went through the king's mind? Naaman, my friend, could be healed from this deadly disease. I will send him down there. And I'm going to send all the money that it might take to buy this cure. Clothes. I'll pay for everything just as long as my friend Naaman can be cleansed of this leprosy. You're here this morning. Did you know that God so loves you? He so loves you as an individual. He loves you as a people. The Bible says he so loved the world that he said, "You know, they've got that disease called sin. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to let him pay the price." They can't pay the price. They don't have the money to pay the price. There's no way that man can pay the price, but my son, I'll give him as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. I so love them that I'll give them my son to die for them. That if they will just come to me and say, "Father, forgive me of the sin in my life," I will cleanse them. Oh, what a bargain. Oh, what a deal that is. Not having to pay for your own sin. The king said, "You know, I'll pay for his sin. I'll take care of his sin." So, off they went. They went down, they carried all this money with them, millions of dollars in our day. All these goods were there to buy the healing for the servant, or for Naaman. and the king of Israel. He had heard all about Naaman, how no matter how what he was a leper. The prophet in Israel, regardless of the well-meaning maid, you know, the prophet couldn't save anybody. He knew that. Only God could do that. Friends, let me tell you, we come to church today, and we have on our in our churches all across our country, people who think, well, if I can just go to church and be good, I can buy my way out of this thing. I heard someone say the other day, we're all trying to make it to heaven the best way we can. And I said, man, we'll never make it that way because we're just bad people. We're not trying to make it to heaven the best way we can. The only way we can is through Jesus Christ. But we've got the idea, if we'll just go to church, if we'll just give our money to the church, and people try to buy their way to heaven all the time. Well, preacher, you know what? I'll give to the church if you'll give me this and that. I can't give you nothing. I can't say the magic word and you'll be saved from your sin. No. Only God can do that. And let me tell you something. He's already paid the price for it. All you have to do is turn from your sin and turn to God. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to church every Sunday. Well, that's the only way you'll get to heaven. Go to church and repent of your sins and turn from your sins and turn to Christ. You see, we're like, in the Bible, we're like the rich young ruler. You see, he had everything. He had all the money he needed. He come to Jesus and he said, hey, good master. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. He said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And that was the key to it. He said, what can I do? A lot of people come to church and they say, well, what can I do to have this eternal life? You've got to turn from your sin. You've got to trust God as your Lord and Savior. You've got to realize that you're a sinner. The rich young ruler said, well, Lord, you know I've kept all the commandments since my birth. I've been a good guy. What else is there? You lack one thing. Sell all you have and give to the poor. Come follow me. Oh, but I can't do that. That's one thing I can't do. You see, I'm very wealthy. I'm not about to give up everything that I've done all my life. I've made. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. You see, we do that all the time, don't we? We're like the king here. We think we can buy whatever we need in our life. And certainly that's what he tried to do. He tried to have by his faith, by his own ability. Inward, he was a leper. Without, he was without hope whatsoever. And folks, we come all time just like Naaman. Luke 18 tells us of that rich young ruler. We try to buy our way. We try to do this and do that. Heaven is something that you don't earn. It's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. For all those who trust Christ for salvation. Why? There's a popular question years ago. It said, why should God let you into my heaven or his heaven? Why should God let you into heaven? And if you said, well, because I've done this, because I've done that, that is a works answer. Works will never get you into heaven, but a lot of people want to try that. Some people say, well, preacher, I'm a good husband. I raise my kids in church. I'm a good provider for my wife and my family. Man, surely God will let me into heaven. You know, Jesus said, many will come to me and say, haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, to get to heaven this morning, we've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot buy your way into heaven. Now listen, that's exactly what this man tried to do. He wanted to buy his cleansing from the prophet down in Israel. Here's God's perspective for cleanliness. When Naaman came to Elijah looking for cleansing, looking for the cure, he offered the gold. He offered the silver. He offered the clothes. But you know what? That did not meet with what God wanted him to do. The prophet said, listen, here's what you do. He didn't even come out to see him. That really made him mad. He's told his servant, said, go out and tell him if he wants to be clean, you got to go down to Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times. Can't you see the disappointment in that Naaman? I am not going to do something that stupid. What does he think I am? I'm an honorable man. I'm a big man in the country where I come from. And he tells me to go dip myself 7 times in the muddy Jordan River. We've got rivers down home that are cleaner than that. You mean to tell me I've got to come all the way down here for nothing? That's his attitude. Now, if the prophet would have told him to do something hard or buy something, he would have done it. But something that simple, he says, there's no way. I thought surely the prophet would wave his hands over me and say, be healed. Least he would have come out and talked to me. I'm not going to do it. And he heads out. He's mad. Now you think, man, that's ridiculous. He's got leprosy. He's dying. It's going to eat away his body. He's going to be pushed away from all humanity because of his hard-headedness. But let me ask you a question. Aren't we just that hard-headed? Huh? Every Sunday morning, some of you listen to the message of the cross. You listen to the message of salvation. We sing about, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the cross of Jesus. Oh, the love of Jesus. We sing it. And when the invitation time comes, you know what you'll do? You'll start putting up your books and zipping up your purses and putting on your coat and everything, getting ready. I'm not going. I'm going to stay just like I am. I came to church. What else can he expect of me? Well, let me tell you something. God expects you to get your life right. He expects you to get out on your knees and pray. He expects you to confess your sin. You see, all we need to do, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, that means if we will ask God and say, God, here I am, I'm a sinner, I want you to come into my life. He said, I will change you. Turn your life around and start living for God. But we say, oh, that's too easy. There bound to be something more than that. That's not going to save us. Well, let me tell you something. It fulfills God's requirements for salvation. He said, if my people, or if you, will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. You believe that? I do. I know one thing. He saved me like that. There was nothing I could do that was good. Matter of fact, I was just bad as could be. I was in sin. I lived a good life, I guess, a clean life. But I was lost. And he kept telling me, Booney, you're lost, you're lost, you're lost. You need to come to me. And I kept saying, no, no, no. I'm as good as anybody else in this church. And I probably was. But I wasn't saved. And some of you here today, and you know, I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. You have worked in church, you have maybe even taught a Sunday school class. Listen, I taught Sunday school. I'd been active in RAs and GAs. Yes, sir, I was a deacon in the church. But I was lost. Man, what do you have to do? I had to swallow a lot of pride, didn't I? Some of you need to do that. Just swallow that pride and say, you know what? I don't care what the world thinks. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to trust Him as my Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what we need to do, folks. Trust Him. If you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, and you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you've accepted that as salvation in your life, and you know you're saved, well, praise God for you. But if you're sitting there thinking, you know, I don't want to go down because they'll know that I've never trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter to what we think. It's what God thinks. And I want you to be saved. I want you to come to know Jesus Christ. I want you to live a life abundant and free. Man, God does too. You're just like the king. We wanted Naaman to be healed. All he had to do was go down there and be obedient. And all we have to do is be obedient this morning to the Word of God. And God says if we will call upon Him, we shall be saved. What was it about dipping seven times in a muddy Jordan River? What was it? How could that cleanse him? Well, let me tell you something. That river couldn't cleanse anybody. It is muddy. But he was being obedient to what God's Word said. And that's what saves a person today. It's you being obedient to the Word of God. Simply salvation is when you agree with God that, hey, I am a sinner. I am lost. I've never really been saved. Oh, I came down and shook the preacher's hand one time. I even got baptized. I like what old Dr. Jerry Vine says. He says you can be baptized in a pond till you know every frog by name. But if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still lost. Fact is, you haven't done anything but just got wet. You see? And I don't know about you, but I was one of those persons that had came down when I was 8 years old. I was baptized, but I didn't know what I was doing. And God said, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Before you can do anything else, you need to be saved. Oh, the love of God. He so loved us. Well, Naaman, he started out and he says, you know, I'm not going to dip myself. And the guy said, you know, you've come so far. You've come so far. If he'd asked you to do anything else, you'd have done it. Why not? Go down to the Jordan and be obedient to his command and dip yourself. Can't you see him right now? He turns his chariot around. He goes to the Jordan River and he walks down in that water and he dips himself one time. And he looks at himself. Nothing happened. The guy said, he said seven times. He dips himself five more times. It's not going to make any difference. Why don't you be obedient one more time? Okay, one more time. I'm going to do just what he says. And he dips himself and he comes up. And the Bible says he's clean. He's clean. You're here this morning. You've tried everything there is. You've tried that the Holy Spirit has talked to you and talked to you and talked to you. You have doubts in your mind about being saved. Some of you know you're not saved. But I've gone to church all my life. Why not try God's way? Why not be faithful to His command and say, Lord, here am I, a sinner. I come to you to dip myself in the blood of Jesus. I claim the blood over my life. Oh, the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you come this morning? If you've never been saved, I'm not trying to scare you. If I could, I would, but I'm not trying to scare you to come down. I just want you to realize that we in our churches all across the country today have a false sense of security that if we go to church and we give our tithe, then we're all right. We go out and live our lives during the week. We never witness. We never share the love. We never light our candle. It's because our candles haven't been lit to start with. Why not come down, ask Christ to come into your life and change your life, and go away from here today rejoicing, rejoicing that He has saved you and washed you clean. If He asked you to do anything else, you would do it. Why not simply by faith trust Him? The price has been paid. Jesus says, all who thirst, let him come. Would you come today? Maybe you're a member. Maybe you're a member here. And you're a good member. Why don't you just come and pray for someone that's not? And lift him up in prayer. You see, I asked you Sunday night to be praying for a lost person. I asked you Sunday night to commit yourself this year to pray for our church. Build a hedge around our church so the Holy Spirit can work in a mighty way this year. We want revival in our church. I want revival in my life. Why not do that? Maybe you're here visiting. I saw we had some visitors today. And you're looking for a church home. Maybe God's led you here. Why not come? I'll be glad to share with you how you can join the fellowship of First Baptist Gun Barrel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for what you're going to do in the life of this church. We give you all the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.